is your bona fide Dr. Tarr.
Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Diller Killer Gadfly.
And this is Dr. Head. And you are experiencing...
Radio! Calcified.
Dr. Tarr?
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is my third pick, by the way, because I initially wanted two other movies, but in a moment of panic, I picked this one. Boneyard, a 1991 direct movie to video. It has some people that you've seen before. Phyllis Diller, yeah. And who played the detective?
Phyllis Diller?
Yes. Ed Nelson.
Yeah, Ed Nelson. And he was like, I've seen him in tons of stuff. Wasn't he like in Corman movies and such? And
No.
What was he?
They were all in Barney.
TV mostly.
Yeah, they were all on Barney TV? Miller.
They're TV mostly. He was in, I think, in the 60s. I think he was in Peyton Place.
TV guy?
A bunch of TV stuff he was in.
Phil Stiller.
I think I watched
Norman Fell. Norman Fell's in this.
Really?
Yeah, just
I watched the wrong Boneyard.
It's because it's the Boneyard, and there are
four
other Boneyard movies.
It's same year, 1991, right?
No, there's only one in 1991.
That's what I searched. Boneyard 1991 film poop, and that the one I got had Mel Gibson.
No.
Oh, fuck. Because when you said Gadfly,
it might have been a better movie,
because this Boneyard was shit. And I'm like, Dr. Tarr, what the fuck did you pick, man? It's like a police procedural based on a real life murder about, I think the movie The Bone Collector was also made for that movie. But
when
a woman discovers a bunch of bodies in the
rubbery
desert,
monsters.
Like human remains, and it's about Mel Gibson plays a profiler and trying to help solve who's killing these.
Is it
these
a good movie?
No. And that's why I thought, it's your third pick, and it's made for TV. I'm like, yep, that lines right up, because the writing is terrible.
How did Mel Gibson...
But it wasn't made for TV. Just take it.
No, it probably wasn't.
It wasn't.
It felt like it.
The gore let me know it wasn't made for TV. But how was Mel Gibson in a made-for-TV movie in 1991 when he was like the uber ultra star that he was?
Yeah, I don't know. No, maybe it wasn't 1991. I don't know. Maybe I just downloaded the wrong movie. Maybe it was recent because he looked old. Maybe the date was wrong on the file. I don't know. But it's Boneyard, and it's a terrible movie.
Yeah, there's like four Boneyard movies, and the one that we're supposed to watch is The Boneyard.
The Boneyard. Well,
oh, no. This is like a VHS tape. It's bad. It's bad. You know, I initially watched it, when it first came out, just because they were talking about, and at the time, it was like Mr. Vampire was coming out and all that stuff. And they were talking about bringing the Chinese. You know, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I think even at the first time I saw it, it's like, this kind of sucks. But on reviewing, the practical effects are not bad at all. I like that. And it's a VHS.
It didn't
movie.
Know.
I actually kind of like some of it, like the character of the psychic. You know, it didn't have to be this hot MILF chick. They presented like someone, you know, overweight. And they kept talking about it all the time, too. Phil's still, yeah, fucking fat bitch. You know, stuff like that. But, you know, I get it. It is a bad movie. I hate it.
It didn't.
Like Rookie Cop.
It was poorly paced. It's like really badly paced. And then it was also, it didn't know what kind of tone it was trying to strike. Was it trying to be comedic or was it trying to be horror or whatever, you know? And I think
it tried to do the balance. We've talked about
comedies,
that before.
Yeah, horror comedies are really hard. You know, you gotta hit that magic, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They fail. Horror comedies, more than not, they fail.
Did.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, only a few stand out as like really great examples of horror comedies. Like Shaun of the Dead being one of
them,
you know.
The only thing I loved about this movie was them stuffing flesh into Phyllis Diller's mouth and her throwing up for all the time and then turning into Large Marge, you know, from Pee-wee's
Big Daddy Roth type monster. Yeah, that was great. And then the poodle.
Yeah, the poodle. Yeah, other than that, it was just a, it was one of those movies.
It was.
I wish I could have done it at 2x the speed.
Well, you could have.
That's why welcome to my world, right?
It's yeah, still, shut up. Well, I don't do that with movies, but this movie I absolutely would have.
You wish you had. No, I get it.
Oh, well, there's many more. I could.
The amount of time she spent walking around with that axe and just being frightened, you know what I mean?
Well, she was a big lady. Sorry.
And then what was the one guy that dresses up as a ghost and comes down the elevator and they've all got guns and he's pranking them. I'm like, what? He would have been dead in no time.
And he's black.
Yeah. The young, good-looking cop? What a fucking horrible actor. Like,
terrible. Oh, yes. The huge... And the chick. She wasn't that hot, sorry. I know the makeup.
Well, she just came back from almost committing suicide. Come on.
Right. And then they start cutting her throat for the autopsy, and she jumps up.
Yeah, yeah. She was what they call suicide chic. That's terrible.
No, she.
I would like to offer a disclaimer. Suicide's not funny. Look at Tarsus. Try not to smile.
But anyway, there you have it. Boneyard.
Shortest episode.
I kind of wish I had seen it. It sounds kind of bonkers in a terrible way. Professor Feather, what did you think of Boneyard?
I watched the third one. Fuck, I don't know. It's a piece of shit. What can I say? A waste of my time. I didn't like it at all. I thought it was just horrible. I saw no redeeming qualities in it whatsoever. I'm sorry. I just didn't like it at all. It's a kind
there
of
you movie have it. Boneyard.
I just don't want to watch anymore, you know? I'm getting kind of tired of watching pieces of total shit like this. But hey, I like Phyllis Diller. Not. I like Norman Fell as the coroner, the hippie coroner. I thought he was kind of funny. Did you notice his long queue? He had that real long queue.
I like that Phyllis Diller didn't wear a wig. And then she was talking about losing her
hair. She made fun of her own losing her hair.
Yeah. She's got some great jokes, too.
But yeah, there's no acting. Ed Nelson's not a bad actor. They're just the script was so horrible that you couldn't, you know, being a good actor had nothing to do with anything. It actually is antithesis to this kind of movie.
That's how I felt about the Boneyard I watched.
91.
The writing was so terrible. The acting wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't good at all, which surprised me. Like Mel Gibson, like, I need $20. Can I be in this movie? You know, I don't know what drove him to that. But it was really, really bad. And the dialogue felt so forced. And then they were like, it was really broken up and fragmented. Didn't make a smooth kind of story. Kept on doing these little flashbacks. But then it tried these unearned sentimentality, like, oh, hey, did you notice that all the main characters have lost someone in their life? Let's try to make you feel something about it. But you don't care about the characters. They don't feel real. You know, it's not well made or crafted to where you feel something about any of the characters. So looks like Boneyard, maybe not a good title to call your movie if you want to avoid making a bad movie, because it seems like three of the five that we've seen have been.
Unless it's an adult feature.
Or they get smart and they call
I get it.
Yeah. Or they get smart and they call it Bone Tomahawk.
I'm getting too old for those sex jokes.
Yeah. Or in Europe it's bone meter. Bone Tomahawk was wonderful.
Oh, that was
a rough movie. That's a rough one.
Yeah, that was hard.
There was a couple of scenes that were just like,
The horror, slicing in half was pretty horrific. The horror was coming in for me, like in the fight scenes, and the fact that there was no music was so.
Oh, Sid Haig.
It feels so real. Yeah. No, that movie is visceral. And
well, in the Boneyard, let's talk about the music. It was overly derivative and cinematic. At times it was just like in your fucking face about like
what? The guy that directed it, I can't think of it, but he's a makeup artist. This is like the first movie he directed.
Hopefully it was the last.
I think it was probably, but anyway, he did his makeup.
I thought the makeup sucked. I thought it was horrible.
No, I think it's indicative of the time. It's just like, this is direct, it's VHS stuff.
Oh, there was much.
You're right. You're great. I get it, but yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I really just couldn't find any redeeming qualities to it. Usually some movies, you can find something in them that you kind of like. I mean, it's pretty sad when my pick for something to like is the hippie coroner. Who's not in it like a whole lot,
No, it gets whatever.
No nudity? I mean, Phyllis Diller? She's not...
She was nude almost the whole movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
her head was naked, kind of.
Yeah.
She had duct tape about here.
I got a virgin sock all ready to go. So, yeah.
I love Phyllis Diller. So my favorite joke of hers is, they say, housekeeping won't kill you, but why take a chance?
I grew up watching her on Laugh-In, on every
she was like, all over the, she all was over,
yeah any kind of variety show place, yeah. or yeah. you know it's just and just yeah. always loved her. And I think I know the person, whoever did 101 Dalmatians and Drew Cruella DeVille, was pulling from her.
looks like it.
She kind of had that over the top. She always had the cigarette, often with the holder. I could see her often was wearing overly glamorous gowns and wigs.
Yeah. Are you talking about the live action movie?
The cartoon or live action? Yeah,
the live action.
Have you seen the live action?
I've never seen the live action movie.
No. I've heard it's great.
I've never had a chance to see it for some reason.
Oh, Cruella? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Please do.
I would like to see it. It's one that's not necessarily on my radar.
Yeah.
I'm going to seek it out.
Yeah. I'll be happy to share it sometime. Yeah. You guys want to watch it together?
We'd like to see it, yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up, I was a kid when 101 Dalmatians came out.
Okay.
We watched it. We went to the movies and watched it 4 times. Because back then they didn't kick you out, they didn't care,
I know.
So we'd stick around and watch the movie, and we watched it 4 times. I remember going. My best friend stayed all night. He and his sister and I went to see it all 4 times, and then I stayed all night at his house on after the 4th time. And in bed they had bunk beds, and then one other bed. His sister and the boy lived in the same room or slept in the same room, same bedroom. And they had an extra bunk where I slept when I come over. And we sat there one night and went through the whole movie. We could repeat it. We repeated that whole movie from beginning to end. We liked that movie so much.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'd like to see Cruella DeVille. I think that's funny too.
Because when
I was a kid, I didn't know that name, Cruella DeVille. I never even, we were 7 years old or 8 years old or whatever. That name never meant anything to me until later. And then, watched it when I was an adult. Well, shit, that's clever.
Yes.
Cruella DeVille, that's clever.
Mm-hmm.
the idea that you got to see all these, 4 times in a row, we did that with Star Wars.
Did you? Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this? Do you remember BG with the Cinema 1 and 2 or whatever it was called?
Oh, at the mall.
Yeah. At the mall, yeah.
Well, yeah, wherever the... Yeah, we only had the 2. The mall.
It wasn't at the mall. This is before. Yeah.
Yeah, there was only 2 theaters and... Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Star Wars comes out and, all the people around. But anyway, they would show it a time and then you would they'd clear the theater. But anyway, we got in the circle, so we saw it like 3 or 4 times in a row. Just at the opening too. This is so cool, though. Yeah, the idea of sneaking back in and getting to see it so many times at the beginning.
We did it. My brother and I did it in Indiana. Whenever we go see Professor Feather's mom and the aunt and uncle that you were close with, they would. There was a theater like 2 blocks away from where she lived. And so my brother and I would walk down there and we would sit there and they would be showing old Disney movies. So we got to see Robin Hood and we got to see, the Dalmatian movie. We got to see, what was the other one? They would show the Jungle Book and we would sit there all afternoon. So we'd be up in the balcony. We'd have a popcorn. Our feet would be hanging over the edge of the balcony because there'd be nobody in there. We could just sit there and we were just told to be back by 6 o'clock,
That's awesome.
So much fun.
I saw some Mexican fairy tale movies, you remember when those came out? Oh, I saw those the holidays. They would drop us off at the Clayzel.
This sounds like something like you should be sharing Mad with Day. Your therapist. You should be sharing this with your therapist.
Oh no. They were like they were just so bizarre. They were just weird. And then, it was a typical matinee thing. Yeah, kids just shitty movie. Kids run around. Anyway.
Nice.
Memories.
Yeah. Our theater in town in the summer would have a summer film series. And then you got like 10 movies for, it might have been like $10 or maybe even less than that. It might have been like 10 cents a movie. It was something ridiculous. I forget what it was.
But you got to go all the time.
Yeah, every Saturday they had movies and it was, and they were the ones who, they always played cartoons and then trailers and then the movie. And so I saw a bunch of Disney films. It was like the Shaggy D.A. and things like that would play it. And then like the the Strongest Man in the World, you'd get a lot of Disney stuff, the Jungle Book and, but that was a great, because that was, that was air conditioned and that was cool. Summertime, so it was like for a couple hours I get there and sit back, and they were a theater too that if they showed a movie multiple times in a day they didn't care if you stayed and watched it. I just had to call and tell my parents, hey, I'm gonna watch a movie again.
Well, it was a drive-in for us. We saw like Escape from Witch Mountain, like all of them, and then we saw
Drive-in.
Well, yeah, Star Wars was kind of weird because we got there late. So I didn't, I think we missed like 15 minutes of the
you first missed one. The epilogue. Yeah, oh, no.
So I'd not seen that very first 15 minutes for years. Like, it was like a decade later before I actually got to see the first 15 minutes of it.
Now the movie makes sense. Oh!
No, but then after that, we would go to Napoleon. Because they had they had the indoor theater there where we saw, I think, Empire Strikes Back. And I think we also saw Return of the Jedi or whatever. Yeah. And we also went to
good double feature.
We also saw a Videodrome, which we thought was going to be a Star Wars. And it was not.
It was very much like Star Wars,
Very much.
We're like, oh, Videodrome sounds good.
Star Wars body horror. There you go.
Yeah, we saw that there, and that was crazy.
No. That's funny. Oh, that's funny.
Well, I think
theater. You're watching all Star Wars. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, theater experiences are great. I mean, the Toledo, where I'm at, used to have the Glen Burn, which was the 2 theaters.
Yeah.
That's where we saw Blue Velvet.
Didn't they show
Durf Redo and me and Professor Feather? We went to see it. We're like, we're driving back to Wasion where we lived at the time, going, "What the fuck was that? That was awesome. It was so fucking creepy. It was so fucking." And we had determined that that was the most terrifying character in cinema at that time was Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
We're like, that dude is just utterly terrifying, and we get it because of Dennis Hopper and because of Lynch.
No, is that about the same time Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer?
I think that was a few years later.
Okay.
Later?
Yeah, because this was, mid-80s is when Blue Velvet came out.
Time-wise,
And I think Henry
all was... All that stuff kind of merges.
Yeah. Henry was, 89?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember because You turned me on to Henry there, Professor Feather.
Oh, I did?
it's kind of like Riggs.
You were turned on?
I'm still scarred.
You were turned on? You said you were turned on to.
It was the first sock I ever had. Stick it to me. No, but I remember watching
it. Well, if you're going to do a sock, she's one of the best people to do a sock to.
Yes.
What's her name? Isabella Rossellini?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
I just remember feeling so fucking anxious and nervous and sick to my stomach and feeling dread and just palpable horror. I'm going, Jesus Christ, this is an intense movie, you know? And Michael Rooker is just so, I mean, it's terrifying. So that was like the first movie that really, that wasn't like a horror, straight horror film, that really made me feel like, holy fuck, what did I just watch, you know?
Yeah. I felt the same way the first time I saw it, too. Why I like it so much.
Yeah. That initial scene where they pan into the bathroom, and that chick's got the bottle jammed in her mouth and stuff like that, you're like, Jesus Christ. And then there's the scene where they're taping them doing the rape in the home invasion. It's too real.
Whole thing is too real.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, like Clockwork Orange.
And all the other movies we were just talking about, Henry and was that Last House on the Left? It's too real.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just, there's a point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's the uncomfortable.
This is fascinating. Both Blue Velvet and Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, came out in the exact same year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that, yeah.
I didn't either, but it's kind of weird that that's
back when they were making good movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and I think we got a lot of
film threat. That kind of reminds me of Film Threat, though.
The video revolution, VHS revolution, we started seeing a lot of films that were coming over from Europe. You know, we had Anchor Bay and things like that. We're bringing over these films, our video store in Bowling Green was really good at like taking suggestions and like getting really cool stuff to watch. Where I saw Santa Sangre. I'm like, and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, I never would have seen that in my video store at home.
That's all because of Sue. Yeah.
She
would get everything you asked. You got a movie for me to get it. Yeah.
Hell, she even had some Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema.
She did.
Nice. Nice.
I think she did. I don't know if they ever got rented, but
Tim had mentioned some Godzilla films like that. And
a couple of times.
She got them all.
Yes.
Because they were the
I ended
the
up new buying ones. Back them, our DVDs, so. I bought back the DVDs and they're up on the shelf over there.
Thinking about reselling now?
Nope.
Yeah, I think the 90s was like the 70s in terms of like independent cinema and independent thinking. There's so much stuff that I used to look at, and Film Threat was out, and I would keep up on everything. Like I would keep up on any independent movie, any independent actor that I wanted to see, and then we could go to the video store.
We were reading about Reservoir Dogs, all of us. We were talking about that then.
Professor Feather introduced me to Reservoir Dogs and Clerks. Yeah. He's like, you got to watch Clerks. And it was so funny that I'm like, he's recommending Clerks. And then I think I recommended back, what was the Linkletter film?
Slacker.
Slacker, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, if you've not seen Slacker, I think it's brilliant. I think it's.
We saw Clerks at the theater.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you didn't. Oh, I did. Yeah.
I saw it on VHS. I remember I saw it
at the theater.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. Like,
I saw it at the theater. God, after, so good. Yeah, I think it was after the movie had come out, after it came out on video and got kind of a cult following. And I forget what theater it was. They brought it back out and showed it, cool. It was like a limited run.
Yeah.
I remember going.
Oh, that's
to see
great.
It. Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, he only made two good movies. That one and
Clerks and
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, the original.
No.
Dogma?
Dogma.
Dogma. Yeah, that's good.
Those are the only two movies I consider really good that he made. Jane's Bob's. Those are the only two I really think are good. The other ones I think are sock yanks.
Jay and Bob. Jay and Silent Bob are funny because every time I see Jay, I think it's Chase B. Right. And I'm like, yeah, because he looks the same. They look the same, Jason Mewes.
They do kind of, yeah.
I'm like,
back then, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, smoking weed, because, you know, then, Chase B had the long hair. I'm like, oh, man.
Jason. Silent Bob would have been Roger. So.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. But like every time I see one of those movies, I'm thinking, oh man, Chase B.
I saw Jason walking into the store, he had the big
clock.
The big watch. And he had like a Flava
homage.
Right. That is something you can say about
fromage.
Our grandfather
fromage.
Who was very conservative when my brother says, can I have that clock? And I want to hang it around my neck. And he helped him drill a hole and put the string and put it on his neck. No fucking questions. Just did it.
That's awesome.
I know. It is.
It's like he's like him. A piece of me is going to be with my grandson, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and if you knew him, that would be just the most bizarre thing ever. You'd just be like, yeah. That dude.
Oh, that's great.
He told me he did a couple of things, stuff like that.
Oh, no, yeah. He's a guy.
I got pickles out of this stuff, hot pickles. Yeah. So, yes. That Kennedy boy needs some more pickles.
I just wish because I love bell peppers and I love sauerkraut now, I wish I would have partaked of the stuffed bell peppers that he used to make. Remember, he had that huge crock in the basement. I bet
that would be so good.
And I kept saying, he only had a plate on it. And I'm like, isn't that unsanitary? Like, how is that not going to kill you if you eat that? And he's like, it's fermented. It's not going to, nothing's going to, it's going to kill you. It's like,
they were good. They were
like,
really good.
Yeah, it was like Northern
Ohio. And if it had some mashed potatoes too, with a little bit.
Northern Ohio kimchi is what it was kind of like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like, yeah.
Have you ever had kimchi?
Yeah.
It's good.
There's a Korean place here, and they have kimchi, and I'm like, ooh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, it's like sauerkraut.
There's different kinds of it, and it's so good.
Right, yeah. There's like real spicy and more of a sweet sour. Yeah,
yeah. I've never had tart. Kimchi. Never.
You'd like it, and it's really,
kind of odd.
It's pickled. Think of it more as it's like pickled type thing, and that's kind of the flavor you kind of get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. It's kimchi. It's not sauerkraut. It's not pickled.
Right. Yeah.
It's kimchi.
Yeah, but it's in that, like, it's in that family.
Coleslaw.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about coleslaw. There are two kinds. There's the creamy coleslaw, and then there's the coleslaw made with vinegar.
Yeah.
And I prefer the vinegar kind. That's what I grew up on.
Yeah, yeah.
My grandmother on my mom's side would make it. She lived with my aunt, and she was very old by this time. But when we go over there to eat, she'd have this just absolutely good, just scrumptious, man. It was so good. It was so good. And then for years, she died, and nobody else was making it, and everybody made the creamy kind, you know?
Yeah, with the mayonnaise,
which is all right. I don't mind it. But then one time I found a recipe, and I'm betting now we make it all the time.
Yeah,
fresh.
I don't eat mayonnaise, I never ate coleslaw. I'm like, no, that's gross. Oh. And then so Mrs. Dr. Head made a vinegar slaw for me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh yeah, that's it. That's the one, because it had some, you know, the sweet, it had a little bit of sugar in it, and to go with that, so we get that, and then just a lot of black pepper,
sweet and,
like,
tart.
Sweet. I'm like, she knows my wheelhouse. So I'm like, that's the only way I like it. I'm like, I'll eat it.
What's the cucumber onion?
I was just going to mention that, because Professor Feather and my brother used to fucking sit there with a bowl of that shit and just fucking scoop it into their mouths.
I love that
cucumber and onions.
The problem is
vinegar.
A day later, they'd be belching, and you'd just be like, oh, Jesus Christ, get the fuck away from me.
Well, yeah, but anyway.
Even the dogs would be like,
I just had some of that probably about 2 weeks ago.
That to me,
I make it every now and then.
In the summertime, with a little bit of salt and pepper, they mow that
stuff.
That's
funny.
It's kind of like watching Boneyard. I love these episodes where we got a movie and we talk about the movie for 10 minutes, and 40 minutes we talk about just on
Boneyard. If Boneyard,
that's
ten,
what
if
makes
Boneyard
us
made it $10, I'll give you $5.
Yeah, yeah.
Boneyard. I think it's about
seven minutes.
I love it. Seven minutes.
That's like a B movie. Yeah.
Yes, it might have gone longer had I seen it. I don't know.
It wouldn't. No.
The right Boneyard.
It wouldn't have been.
Oh man, that's so great.
That's so funny. Yeah. You watched the wrong one.
I know.
When I called it up, I'm like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I saw like five different Boneyards, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm so glad we didn't watch Deathstalker.
I like the original.
Oh my God.
I mean, I haven't seen the remake, but I love
the
original.
Oh,
the
remake, it purposely tries. Yeah.
It's trying too hard.
Well, then it falls back into the acting, too.
There's nothing good about Deathstalker other than.
But
Barbie
it's super gory.
The regular, the first one, yeah.
Yeah, Barbie Benton, that's it. That's the only reason why I would watch it.
And there's not even that in the.
It's a mess, yeah.
Oh, really? Wow, okay. Yeah. Because Deathstalker was over the top with the violence, but, you know, and hitting the guy to death with his own leg or whatever. Like, that's great, you know, like that's.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just another victim of the sword and sorcery craze, sword and sandals,
right.
Because of Conan came out.
Well, we had.
And that's what it's making fun of, actually, the. Yeah, this
that was version, genre.
But, we had
sword, but not very well.
We had Sword and the Sorcerer, right? That was one. And their thing was is that the book, they made a book adaptation that they put out before the movie came out. And I read the book adaptation. It's horrible. And then they had Hawk the Slayer. Do you remember that one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I fucking loved, you know. And then
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's terrible. It's Jack Palance. Terrible.
But, Jack Palance, isn't that?
Yeah.
I am Hawk.
And he has a crossbow or something, or a bow and arrow. I don't even remember. It was so long ago, but it was it was in the 80s, you know, the early 80s when I was just starved for any like science fiction or
anything
fantasy content.
Anything
that came on, I would watch it. You know, I would get up, I would find out when heavy metal was on like Showtime. And I would schedule it, and I would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then watch it from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the morning, and then go back.
That's
to
That's one of the few soundtrack albums I ever bought.
Oh, it's
the soundtrack to heavy metal.
One of the best soundtrack albums ever.
Yeah.
And I think that movie definitely influenced. I mean, we've already said it in the episode. I think it influenced the. The Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, the
Fifth Element. I think
the cab sequence.
Yes. It kind of
might have influenced that part of Fifth Element all the way.
Yeah.
Because that's the look, Mobius. I'm like, oh my God, that's what it reminded me of that. Like, because I liked heavy metal. Yeah, you know, I thought it was really cool and really innovative, and that's where I heard. The Black Sabbath song Mob Rules.
I think the whole story is based on his story.
It just melted my face. I'm like, I have never heard a riff so fucking heavy in my life.
Working in a coal mine, going down.
Yes, and that.
Veterans of a Psychic War.
That's one of my favorites.
Right?
Yeah. Or
yeah. That guy. Cheap Trick. Who's the band?
Oh, no.
No, it's Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult, yeah.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah. Cheap Trick was on there. Yep. You must be dreaming to think I love you. You must be dreaming to think
I like that. Is that what the is that what someone was stirred?
Yeah. Reinhardt Lane. Reinhardt Lane.
That was a Cheap Trick one. I had read that. I saw that story in heavy metal and who did the artwork. But anyway, the artwork stuck in my head. And I was picturing more of that. In the story, anyway,
I know the one with the.
I like the segment, but
yeah, the one. I think that was Bernie Wrightson, wasn't it? No, Bernie Wrightson was one of them.
No, it might have been
Den. Den was the one that was Corbin.
That was Corbin.
Richard Corbin.
Yes.
I love that one where he gets the lectures and he's sitting there and he looks down and he goes, big.
My favorite one is the war, the pilots, the, you know, the bomber.
Oh, yeah.
That one is like true horror, you know.
It's so
good.
And such a different style.
Yes.
And I think that
animation
was jars you.
I think that's Bernie Wrightson. I think that's the
one. That was Bernie Wrightson.
That's Bernie Wrightson, yes. And it's so good. Yeah, totally wonderful. And then, of course, I had a sock save for that last segment, you know. I'm like, oh, that's what I'm paying to take a price for. And here we go.
That was totally Mobius.
Yeah. thank you, Mobius. My socks do not thank you.
that time period of like sci-fi movies and stuff. Did anybody see Krull?
I hate that fucking movie.
Yeah, that's so good.
Tried to make it a comic book that just totally utterly
failed.
And
a video game. The video game was fun.
Was there a video?
That's about it. There was a video game.
I just remember seeing it. It's like who directed it?
I thought the blade was cool, but like it's really impractical. Like you could grab onto it, you're gonna slice yourself. It's like a frisbee with razors. You know, like oh come on.
Who directed it? I thought it was someone.
Wasn't it Mulcahy's one of his early ones? Hang on.
But it was so.
I don't know.
I don't know. I was thinking. Yes. When I was little, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be a really cool movie. And then when you see. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I was a teenager.
It looks years, like so a I would, Doctor
I would always
Who.
Like. I would find him like sorceress. I'm like, oh, that's probably got some boobs. And I would thread it. But I also liked the genre because I liked Conan. But nothing was ever as good. I mean, it was a lot of cheese.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, it was it was just not well done. It was, you know, but it's also like when I have a hard time watching them now, but I will sometimes do that. Like, let's check out Beastmaster.
Do you know what?
I can only get so far. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to spend an hour watching this, man. Sorry.
You know, one that I watched a lot though was it's so weird. Anyway, I was fascinated with the movie Excalibur, Borman.
Okay.
Oh, that's
one was I kept watching. Yeah. I watched it so many times. Yeah. I can't watch it anymore. It's one of those movies I can see everything in it.
Right.
I don't know why I was so fascinated. Yeah. But I didn't know why I was so fascinated.
Oh, I loved it.
It was a very visual story. It was like a storybook.
That final fight sequence with the setting sun.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
And it was the discovery of so many actors, too. It had...
Nicole Williams. Well, he wasn't discovered, but yeah.
No.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. And then what's the Irish guy that was in Usual Suspects?
Yeah.
He was in it as well.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
And then I think also Qui-Gon Jinn, right? Liam Neeson?
He's in Krull. Oh, no, he is in that. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. And And I love, I mean, Merlin, though, the portrayal of Merlin is my favorite of all the
Arthur movies. Right, yeah.
You know, that, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And the look like of the that. Film with those skull caps and the beautiful shiny armor. I mean, it's
the cinematography of the movie was just
fantasy. Stunning, yes. You
know? Yes.
That's one of the things I think made the movie, made it what it was because it was just, so and beautiful to watch.
And it looks staged. It looks staged, though. It looks like it's on a stage. You know what
sometimes,
I mean?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay. But yeah, you're right.
But Kurosawa is that way too. Does a lot of things. It looks like a stage, but it's real. You know, it's not. It's real.
Right.
But
then it's the way it's set up, the sets and design and the shots.
Exactly.
No, I think it's intentional nod to no theater and it is.
Gabriel Byrne.
Gabriel Byrne. That's
And Helen Mirren. Was in it as Morgan Le Fay.
That's right.
Oh, she's very sexy. Yeah,
still,
thank you.
To this day,
I know.
Saw
yes,
I'm like, oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you
yes.
saw the bikini picture, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me show you that sock. Yeah.
And she's just a wonderful person. If you ever watch interviews or anything, she's just a really good, nice, down to earth person.
She used to date Liam Neeson too because they were on Graham Norton together, and they were talking about the time that they were showing up and doing all that.
So she looked down and went, "Oh, that's big."
Yeah. No, she looked up because he's like 6'5".
Really looked up. Well, it depends on
what she's looking at.
I couldn't date anyone.
Where are you looking at, Willis?
Yeah. You're so disappointed.
It might have been above her.
Yeah, it's true. Speaking of the boneyard,
bone meter.
Way to bring it back.
Way to bring it back. I brought it right back, baby.
Right back home.
There we go.
What's that sound?
Palgon, take me away.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump?
On your face.
I saw that Japanese movie.
I think it was Uncle Roy that sent it to us.
Yes, I think it was.
was going to say, I think that's the other music.
Yeah, I put the wrong song on. Jerry, edit that out. Oh, wait a minute. Jerry, edit something so we can post it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I've been remiss. And you have been listening to...
Unsane Radio on gmail.com, Unsane Radio on the Facebooks, unsaneradio.com. You got to go there, see all the pics, pictures, and have fun. Every episode that there we've ever put out is on there.
And we're YouTubing it. We're YouTubing it.
YouTubing
no, it. No. Unsane Radio is not YouTubing it.
Lube tubing it.
No, but...
Tar and Feathers Psycho Cinema is YouTube.
Ah.
We have Psycho Cinema YouTube channel. We've just put out our most recent... Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Recent!
We put out a new episode. It is now live on... Well, not live, but it's now on YouTube, our YouTube channel.
It's
The Mysterious
so
Island, 1929 Ooh. Part Talkie. Beautiful movie, over the top movie, kind of fun. And we've been posting several other. We've got about maybe a dozen episodes up now, or something like that. I just put up three or four more. I put up Detour, which is one of my all-time favorite episodes of Tar and Feathers Cinema, which, because it's one of my all-time favorite movies, and I was so pleased that we could actually present an actually really good film noir movie on, you know, Psycho Cinema.
Thank you, YouTube.
That's cool. And Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on YouTube. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on Facebook. Montag Lewis on Instagram. We got some good stuff going away, coming this way. And we have recorded so many extra episodes since Chop's been recovering from his pulled groin that we have all of next year already filled out. We are like a year, really? And we got like eight more shows to record. So I said, Chop, we got to start. I'm just going to release them more often. So instead of every other week, we're going 2 weeks on, week off, 2 weeks on. So,
oh yeah.
But we got like 35 shows like in the books. Like, fuck, we got to do something with this stuff. So anyway, Heavy Metal Horror.
Are you going to reveal at the end of the season who pulled his groin?
Yeah, I said he did it for about 20 minutes too long. So he's he actually fell and broke his ankle. But to everyone and all of our guests who have come on the show, because we had Brock Star, you know, Mark Bridie from Jag Panzer was on. We were talking about our favorite road trip bands, and so that was a good time. So yeah, and then we had Doug Halvering on, and we were talking about our Rodney Dangerfield bands, bands that don't get no respect. So yeah. So it's really cool. We love, we have a good time. We love our guests coming on. Anyway, Heavy Metal.
I'm watching 8-Man right now, and we're like,
We Freaks on Facebook, family friendly comic. Excellent. Done by our good friend John, the Blue Fez Boise.
Boing.